from the historic River Market in downtown Kansas City, Missouri, from the crystal blue waters of the Missouri River, it's Two Douchebags and a Microphone Podcast.
And now, Deep Thoughts with Mark.
You know, go to bed, you'll feel better is pretty much the human version of did you turn it off and turn it back on again?
The apocalypse just happened. You don't know what to do. You don't know where to go. But we can tell you what you can eat.
Sheep sorrel and wood sorrel are salad variety greens, reminiscent of romaine types of lettuce, are both healthy and delicious. Vinegar and oil can be stored for a long period of time, so a post-apocalypse salad is possible. It can also be ground for a tasty spice as well.
Our constant pursuit for a real knee slapper. It's strange insults from an alien. Real hilarity.
You are dressed like an assistant debate coach at an Ohio State middle school.
Have you ever wondered where something came about? Have you ever looked at something and said, I wonder what the origin of that is? Well, so have we. That's why we give you the origin of...
What is the origin of Mountain Dew? Tennessee bottlers Barney and Ally Hartman developed Mountain Dew as a mixer in the 1940s. Soft drinks were sold regionally in the 1930s, and the Hartmans had difficulty in Knoxville obtaining their preferred soda to mix with liquor, preferably whiskey, so the two developed their own, now known as Mountain Dew.
Two Douchebags and a Microphone says, you ever dream about eating chocolate pudding and wake up with a spoon in your ass? Just asking.
Hi all, this is Chicago. I am the most dangerous city in North America. You can't touch me.
Oh yeah? This is Kansas City here. Hold my beer, bitch.
And now it's time for the Daily Douchebag Pledge.
Two douchebags and a microphone pledge. I, Joe or Jane listener, hereby promise to download every show. I, Joe or Jane listener, hereby promise to grab family members' phones and download the show from there. I, Joe or Jane listener, hereby promise to go to public computers and download the show from there. I, Joe or Jane listener, hereby promise to laugh at all the unfunny jokes. I, Joe or Jane listener, hereby promise to lie to all my friends and tell them how good the show is. And finally, I, Joe or Jane listener, promise to visit Montrose, Missouri to take advantage of the power plant, campgrounds, and junkyard all within its quarter-mile radius.
Hello, everybody. This is Two Douchebags and Microphone. I'm Mark.
And I'm Rob.
So, Rob, how are you doing today?
Better than yesterday. That's definitely for sure.
Yeah, yesterday you were a little iffy. Yeah,
A lot of heavy steel. It was a rough day.
Yeah, that's
a lot of things changing. Ended up getting two truckloads of steel in it. When we get truckloads of steel, it takes me away from the saw, so everybody else is still working.
And you're getting behind.
Who's catching up to me, I'm away from the saw, can't do nothing.
Yeah, and then everyone else is like, where's our shit? And it's like, well, I spent all day unloading trucks. What do you want me to do?
And then you got those that come up with an attitude, like, okay, get the fuck out of my area.
Oh, like you told me previous. Yeah, you know what? That's just the way it goes. And, you know what? You have other stuff that you have to do.
Today was a totally different day.
Okay, cool. Well, hopefully the guy gets off his fucking ledge there and he realizes that you're not one to be screwed with. So.
Right.
So anyhow, you know what?
Because the bosses are telling that.
Like I used to tell people when I was younger, look, the ass kicking is optional. It's completely up to you. I'd rather not kick your ass. But if you keep going at this rate, I'm going to have to.
And well, it's like our main boss explained to me one day. Okay, a lot of my job is I have to get along with everybody because I cut parts for everybody.
Yeah.
I have to deal with them, know what they need. I got to be able to talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
But like he said, I have to be able to get along with them.
I got it.
Doesn't mean I have to like them. I just got to get along with them.
There's a lot of people I don't like I get along with just because
I
have to.
And that goes a long way.
It does. It does. So, anyhow, I got a little bit more NFL news. We've been talking NFL quite a bit because the free agency trading period is over with. Now the free agency where people are snapping up the people they want before the draft, pre-draft, because this is where teams put next year's team together. This is a nucleus, and then they pick the draft picks accordingly. Okay, we got this guy in free agency. We got this guy. So now our glaring need is this position. So then they start going through and figuring out. It's a very precise deal. They have to figure out, you know, if, one, you can trade up to get them, if they're going to be there when you're there, if anyone else is looking at them. Because I remember Sean Payton, when he was in New Orleans, he went down and he secretly went down to Texas and had one workout with Mahomes. One workout. And he didn't want anyone to know he went down there. And then he snuck back. I mean, he was like in a six-hour period, if not shorter, he went and visited Mahomes for a workout. Nobody knew he went down there. And he was convinced he wanted this guy. And then he said, as soon as Andy Reid and Brett Veach moved up in the draft, he looked at all his people around him. He said, "We're not getting Mahomes." He knew what Andy Reid was going to do, and he was snapping mad about that. But you see, and that's part of the draft that people don't realize. Kansas City was smart enough to move up and to make that move with Buffalo to make that trade, and they did. And they won three Super Bowls and been in four and six championship games in a row. Because of that, because they were savvy enough to not sit back and go, you know what, we need to make this, we need to trade right now, we need to make a trade right now, we need the next pick, he's still there, and we don't think he's going to last. So, bravo to the Chiefs for doing that, and this is what teams are doing right now. They're trying to gauge what other teams are doing. They're trying to figure out, you know, hey, who are they interested in? Who did they go look at? What's their glaring need? You know what I'm saying, Rob?
Right.
So
right.
It's really cool when you get down to it and you watch it and you understand it more and more about what they're doing. It's just like there's a couple of wide receivers out there with blazing fast speed. The Chiefs are interested in them. The Dolphins are interested in them because they have a facilitator of that. They have a quarterback that can get the ball to them. So that's what
right.
they're looking at, you know. So anyhow, one of the things that's going on is the luxurious Snead sweepstakes are kind of swaying towards the Chiefs again. And every passing...
I read a little something about that today.
Okay, then you probably know a little bit about it then. Every passing day is a day closer to him staying with the Chiefs. That means they have not made a deal, no one's made him an offer, and then we'll get him for the $18 million, or I think it's $18 million was the hit for franchising him. So
yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so they'll get him for that $18 million, which is within what we have, still being able to sign our draft picks, and also because Patrick Mahomes is converting some of that money that he got restructuring his contract to a signing bonus. That opened up about $23 million or something, I believe, which is a great move. So now we're going to have more room to get more people in and stack the deck even more for the hopefully three-peat, which has never happened in the NFL. So, anyhow, here is what transpired that makes us closer to hopefully keeping Legarius Sneed. The Pittsburgh Steelers and Detroit Lions were considered to be two of the top trade destinations for Sneed. Pittsburgh recently parted ways with cornerback Patrick Peterson, while a weak secondary in Detroit saw the departure of safety C.J. Gardner-Johnson. Both teams desperately needed help at defensive back, and Snead would have been an ideal fit. Detroit elected to trade for Tampa Bay Buccaneers cornerback Carlton Davis instead. Pittsburgh acquired cornerback Dante Jackson in a trade with the Carolina Panthers. is a better fit for the reach and switch to more man coverage is what they're looking at. And so he wouldn't have been like the perfect fit from then. So anyhow, I think they could have, he's so talented, I honestly think they could have switched his role around a little bit and he would have been fine, but I'm glad that they decided to go somewhere else because we want him. We want him. So, anyhow, so that's, you know, that bodes well. That bodes well.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes gave a, well, pretty much granted us $21.6 million by converting salary cap space into a signing bonus, so that's good. And they have $15.3 million in salary cap space right now, so you combine the two and you're well into the 30s, which should be perfect. You need about $7 million for the draft, and then the other 18, and then you'll have some change left in case someone comes down the wire a little bit later that you're like, that's a good fit. We have the money to get him. So, and that usually happens later on in the season when people are like, you know what, we're out of it. Go ahead and get rid of so-and-so. We'll save this much, you know, that type of situation. So, anyhow, and then the other news is it appears that Joey Flacco is going to be a part of the NFL again next year. And he signed with the Indianapolis Colts. So, he might be a backup. He might.
I could see that.
Yeah. So, I mean, if nothing else, he's a good, like we were talking about yesterday, which was released today. Sometimes that's all you're looking for, is you're looking for a seasoned veteran to help the youngster out. Talk them off the ledge, tell them what they're doing wrong, tell them what they're doing right, tell them their footwork, you know, all this stuff, the defenses, what we were talking about yesterday. So that's pretty much all the news I have for right now. So Rob, do you have something you're itching to speak of or something?
Yeah, I'm going to stay in football.
Okay, good.
Actually, I'm going to move on to the Cleveland Browns.
All right.
The Cleveland Browns are hard at work making moves for the upcoming season.
There's no joke.
The team's manager, Andrew Berry, has been trading and signing key players who can help the Browns make a Super Bowl run. Also, the stadium where the Browns play their home games caught fire on Tuesday.
I didn't see that anywhere. Damn.
According to Cleveland19.com, a small fire broke out at the stadium. The fire crews came around 2:45 p.m. Eastern Time to put it out. The fire was located in one of the storage areas in the stadium, and nobody was injured, but an investigation of why the fire started is yet to be determined.
Oh, wow.
And it goes on to say something I did not know.
What's that?
Which is up by alley.
Okay.
The Browns Stadium also got massive news on Tuesday that they will host the WWE SummerSlam on August 3rd.
Ooh, that's a big catch. That's a huge catch.
Yes, yes.
Wow. Well, cool. Cool, I'm glad they got that, but the fire thing is kind of weird, isn't it? But I guess they got it out.
No, it was in a storage room. So,
oh, is that what? Okay. All right. Well.
But they are investigating it.
Okay. All right. I'm really switching gears on this one. This was a story I wanted to get to a few weeks ago when it was more hot. But this is not a dated story. I mean, because it still holds some relevance. The multimillionaire chief executive officer of U.S. food processing giant Kellogg's has drawn scorn from some quarters after recently suggesting that families with strained finances could cope by eating cereal for dinner. Yes, he did. That's what he said. The guy from Kellogg's, the chief financial, the CFO, he said that if you're poor, you can afford cereal for dinner. You think there's maybe a problem with that, Rob?
Yeah, but at the same time,
well,
I understand
here's
what he's saying.
Okay, here's the way I took it. Hey, poor people, I'm still going to try to sell to you. You know what I mean?
Right.
To me, it was cheap and sleazy to insert his product on a totally different issue. You know, the food insecurity or whatever the hell they call it nowadays, hunger.
Right.
To me, it was cheap and it was sleazy. To me. But maybe he didn't mean it like that. I don't know. Gary Pilnick was speaking live to CNBC's Squawk on the street on 21st February when he delivered the remarks in question, which have some compared to the "let them eat cake" phrase frequently attributed without evidence to Maria Antoinette before her execution during the French Revolution. The cereal category has always been quite affordable, and it tends to be a great destination when consumers are under pressure, Pilnick said amid a discussion about high grocery prices. If you think about the cost of cereal for a family versus what they might otherwise do, that's going to be much more affordable. So I do get that. And there is...
Okay, but then you got to realize you got to add the milk, too.
Yeah, and milk is not cheap. Yeah, yeah. That's true.
You might as well buy a package of meat.
That, yeah, exactly. And that's another
point. Yeah.
Well, he got a lot of shit on TikTok about it. One person on TikTok said, "This fool is making $4 million a year." That user said, "Do you think he's feeding his kids cereal for dinner?" Good point. Another user on social media platform reacted by saying, "What the hell kind of dystopian hellscape is this? Give the peasants cereal for dinner?" One retorted, "Eat the rich." Various other pointed out how cereal, especially brands manufactured by Kellogg's, isn't especially cheap. And he's right. One person argued a $10 family-sized box of cereal with a $3 carton of milk, like you said, Rob, a $3 carton of milk would cost about the same as frozen lasagna meant to be fed for the same amount of people. What you said, Rob, exactly what you said. Why don't you buy meat? Because you're not going to be that far off. So that's another reason why I thought it was a cheap and sleazy comment, is because I think he knew that.
Okay, but I can also understand if that's all you have. I mean, if you don't have money to go out and buy anything, but you have cereal there, you can eat cereal for dinner and survive.
I'll go even a step further, Rob.
That's where I thought it was going into.
No, Rob, you are correct on what you're saying. And here I'll even go a step further to actually vindicate that thought a little bit more. I'm just saying that
I know a few people eat cereal for dinner.
I do too.
Occasion,
Cereal doesn't need refrigeration. Cereal is cheap. The cheaper kind is really cheap, not necessarily Kellogg's, but the Great Value Fruit Loops or whatever, round fruit rings or whatever they call it and all that, you can get those relatively cheap.
Yeah.
Okay, so the thing is it keeps really well. So if you don't have that much of a refrigeration that you can use or whatever, and also this is a type of food that's really good for food banks because it doesn't go bad.
Oh, yeah. Anytime you go to a food bank, you get cereal.
Yeah. Food bank will have cereal, just like canned goods. It's kind of along the same thing. It's like they don't have that much space to refrigerate it, but they need to feed a lot of people. So it's like, okay, it's canned goods, cereal, Maltomil, stuff like that. So I can give it that too. But I think the guy did it out of cheap. And to me, I took it as cheap and sleazy.
Yeah, from the words you read, you're right. That's the way he meant.
Yeah, but I also understand what you're saying, Rob. It's not such a it's not such a crazy idea as what you're saying. It's not that out of the fuck.
I have known low-income families that have to really watch it, you know.
Oh, I think everybody.
If they have to eat cereal, they eat cereal.
You know, credit card debt is out of control right now. And that's because people are living off of them. They can't do anything else. You know, and then without getting political, let's just say some people in charge in the United States are trying to spend a bunch more money and make our money even more worthless. So,
right.
As long as we have that thought in the White House and Congress, we're not getting anywhere. We're going to continually get further and further behind in the country and in the world. Okay,
yep.
And here's another thing pertaining to this article. Bureau of Labor Statistics data shows cereal prices have jumped 28% in the last 4 years. Several media outlets have reported, and in information from it, this is what you said too. You said cereal's not necessarily cheap either now. Kellogg's raises prices 12% as it pleads to its customers to eat cereal for dinner and give chicken the night off. So,
and I'm going to guess milk is up probably 50%.
Oh, gosh, yeah. With spikes
and
in it,
not 100%. No, it'd be 100%. It's like double price.
Yeah, you know what? It probably is double the price, yeah. If you look at it about 6 or 7 years ago, it's doubled in the price.
Yeah.
And also, it's a brand that spikes. We have a problem with milking cows, or we have Phantom or something, and floods that's killing a bunch of milking cows somewhere. Then the price spikes up, too, even further than that for a while. So it is one of these things that can fluctuate really big depending on events going on in the world, right?
Right.
So anyhow, let's go ahead and take our first break, and we're going to come back with more, garbage. That sound good?
Yeah, sounds good.
Oh, real quick, though. Hi, Opal.
Hi, Opal. Hi, Jimmy.
Opal, keep your head down. Dodge City, Kansas, having some bad weather there right now. Keep your eye to the sky. Currently under a tornado watch. So are we in Kansas City right now. Anyhow, got a big bad tornado watch going on out there with severe storms all over the place and supercells. So, Opal, keep your head down. Jimmy, keep in touch with Opal. And I'm sure you'll be
please.
Okay. Yes.
And let us know you guys made it through it, please.
Yes, absolutely. Break me off an email, Jimmy. All right, we'll be here.
Yeah, we want to know you guys make it through this.
That's right. I'm sure you will. I mean, Opal is 80-something, right? And she's lived out in Dodge City. I'm sure she's seen quite a few tornadoes and a lot of hail and a lot of wind.
Yeah.
Being out there, you don't live out there without seeing quite a few tornadoes, wind, and hail. That's just the way it is. So, anyhow, we'll be right back right after these fine messages.
Hey, look, I think we found land. Oh my God, I think we're safe. Oh no, it's the island of horrible jokes.
Where do polar bears keep their money? In a snowbank.
Two douchebags in a microphone, raw and uncensored. See Behind the Smoke Show. Watch as the douchebags get stung by a swarm of bees. Enjoy one of many coffee houses ordering our heroes out. Watch Mark revisit Clinton, Missouri to claim his innocence for all the mad shitter accusations.
I'm not the mad shitter.
Act now and get both high-quality DVD sets and a free douchebag calendar. Mark off the day with a douchebag looking at you. Supplies are limited, so act now.
Our constant pursuit for a real knee slapper. It's strange insults from an alien. Real hilarity.
Are you always such an idiot? Or do you just show off when I'm around?
Oh Lord, that man just sawed a puppy in half.
Hey there, don't worry. I have a clown nose.
Oh no! That drunk guy just hit my child!
It is okay. I have a clown nose.
Clown nose! Just put one on and you can do anything. Want to run for office? Murder people in public? Just grab a clown nose and bam, everyone laughs.
Clown noses are sold at gag stores online and pedophile conventions. Grab one today and make magic happen.
Next up, things overheard in hell.
Howard Stern just signed a 10-year contract extension.
Oh shit. What's that over there?
Oh no. It's the island of horrible jokes.
Ugh.
A panic-stricken man explained to his doctor, "You have to help me. I'm shrinking." The doctor said, "I will. You have to be a little patient."
Next time you take a dump, listen to Two Douchebags and a Microphone. It's been proven in laboratory rats to relax your anal canal. Get in comfort.
Two douchebags and a microphone. I'm Mark.
And I'm Rob.
Rob, you got something you want to speak of?
Yeah, I'm going to go back into pussy again tonight.
Sounds like a great topic to me.
Cats are enigmatic creatures known for their mysterious ways and behaviors that often leave their human companions puzzled. One of the most fascinating aspects of feeding lion behavior is a variety of sleeping positions.
Uh-huh.
And here's a short list of the positions and what they supposedly mean.
Okay.
Okay, the first one is the curled up ball. Often referred to as the classic cat sleeping position, Cats curl up into a tight ball, tucking their paws and tail around their body. This position provides warmth and security, harking back to their wild ancestors' need to protect vital organs from predators. It also conserves body heat and strengthens it, ensuring the cat remains comfortable while resting. Next is the sideways snoozer.
This is cool.
A cat laying on its side, stretched out or slightly curled, indicates a high level of trust and comfort in its surroundings. The position exposes the cat's belly, a vulnerable area suggesting the cat feels no fear or danger. It's a sign of a relaxed, happy cat enjoying comfortable living conditions.
Oh, wow. Cool.
And honestly, the rest of these are pretty much the same.
Okay.
The next one, the belly up. When a cat sleeps belly up, it's the ultimate sign of trust and security. This position exposes the most vulnerable parts of a cat's body and is typically seen in environments where the cat feels most protected.
Okay. Cool.
Go ahead, keep going. And then next you got the loaf.
Okay.
In the loaf position, the cat sits with its paws tucked under its body, resembling a loaf of bread. You know how they have all their paws under and they squat down.
Yep. This
While
is interesting.
While not a full sleep position, it's a relaxed state where the cat is prepared to doze off or spring into action. The position suggests the cat is comfortable but remains alert to its surroundings.
Cool.
And then you have the half eye.
The what?
Half eye.
Half eye? Okay.
H-A-L-F.
Half
eye.
Oh, okay.
Cats often sleep with their eyes half open or slightly closed. A trait from their wild ancestors to stay alert to danger.
Mm-hmm.
If your cat sleeps like this, it's comfortable but in state to be ready to protect itself. The position offers a glimpse into the cat's need for safety and protection while resting. And then you have the Superman. Some cats sleep sprawled out on their stomachs with all four limbs stretched out, resembling Superman in flight. This position is usually adopted in cooler temperatures, but when a cat feels particularly safe and wants to stretch out its muscles, it's a sign of a cat is feeling secure and content in its environment.
Okay.
And then lastly, the box sleeper.
Okay.
Cats have a notorious love for boxes, and sleeping in a box offers a sense of security and protection. This position, surrounded by the walls of the box, satisfies the cat's instinctual need for a safe and closed space. It's a quirky reminder that cats' preference for feeling protected and their enjoyment of finding unique places to rest.
Wow. Okay. Wow.
I thought that was pretty cool.
That is cool, because I know cats that have done all of those, and the one that I'm closest to, Kitzer, he does that where he spreads out and he's got complete trust. He does that to me because he'll come up to me and lay right next to me and do that, kind of give me a sign of, hey, you know what, I completely trust you. And I could tell it was that even before you told me that. You know what I mean?
Well, when I read this, I got thinking about our cats.
Uh-huh.
And that is so true, because I watch our cats all the time.
Well, it is true. Yeah, I mean,
and they sleep in different positions.
Yes, they do.
And this kind of explained it. They're comfortable, you know. They're secure, they're comfortable.
Uh-huh.
So,
no, that's pretty cool, man. I mean, it really kind of, what would you call it? It kind of gives you the story about how cats are, why cats do what they do a little bit. I mean, because they are odd animals, and they do things their way.
They
so,
are.
Yeah, so.
Anybody that has one knows.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Cats are, they do what they are. You don't own a cat owns you, is the old saying. And then the other one is, let's say you have a cat and a dog, right, in your apartment, and you die.
I do.
Okay.
Oh, and I die?
And you die. Who's going to be laying on your lap, and who's going to be eating you after a couple hours? The dog is going to be in severe grief, laying on you, hoping his master comes back to life, whining, sad. And the cat's going to go, well, shit, it's been 3 hours. He's definitely dead. I'm kind of hungry. They'll start eating you.
He's just taking a nap again. Yeah.
So, yeah, that's the difference between cats and dogs right there. Cats are like the ultimate predator. When it comes down to it, you may have a really nice cat and really sweet, but at the end of the day, remember, remember where they come from, man. I love cats. We have cats, but I mean, they're completely different than dogs. So, I've got an interesting story here. It seems like there was this varsity football player. He had a severe peanut allergy that could kill him. His classmates found out about it in the football locker, and guess what they did, Rob?
What?
They put peanuts in his clothes.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Back in October, Carter Manning, 16, told his varsity football teammates at Lake Travis High School, Texas, about his peanut allergy and made it clear that it could kill him. But despite the young boy's admission to his team, he discovered hours before a game that peanuts had been placed in his locker, his cleats, and even inside his jersey. That's fucked up.
Wow.
So, anyhow, Brooks and Worthy, well, I'll go along with this part first. Carter Manning was just 9 months old when his family discovered he had a nut allergy. We had him sitting on the counter, and my husband was making a peanut butter sandwich right next to him. Carter reached his hand inside the peanut butter jar, and he smeared it on himself. His mom, Shauna, tells People exclusively. He puffed up. He quit breathing. They applied CPR. They got him back, you know, and they got him treatment before it killed him. But this is like a very serious, you know, this is a very serious allergy. So, anyhow, his teammates did this, which is prompting a lawsuit towards the school over this. And, I mean, I guess it's for negligence. It didn't really say in this article. So, I guess what they're saying is the school, per se, didn't put peanuts in his jersey. The kids did. But I don't know. Is there a recourse to file a lawsuit against the school? I don't know what their angle is, you know what I mean? I mean, I'm not saying it's bullshit what the kids did. And they're lucky their son's alive. And those kids need to be punished somehow, some way, for doing that. Because right. They could have killed him. But suing the school? I don't get that. I mean, I understand they're outraged. I understand that they're mad as hell that this could have happened at school. But ultimately, kids are kids. They're stupid.
Okay. Right, right.
Yeah, go ahead, Rob.
What they're doing is they're running off the old rule that the school is responsible for the kids from the time they leave their house to the time they get home.
Yeah, Rob, you're right. But do you think that, look, like I said, everything before, I understand them being pissed. I understand them being outraged.
I don't see how the school would be responsible.
Exactly. This is an unfortunate.
And how old were they?
I believe they were around 14 and 15.
Okay, yeah, the school could not be responsible.
Well, here's the deal.
Not doing that.
I had a bigger article about it, but it disappeared on me right before I started speaking about it. It was like my... Yeah, my Google Chrome just flipped out. It went to a different story, so I had to like scramble. I started talking about it in the middle, and it disappeared, and I'm like, oh shit. So I had to scramble to get another story of this same incident. So this story isn't nearly in depth as the other one, but I believe if what I read before, what I lightly went over, it was they're about 14 and 15 years old. And they're and it's probably not varsity, yeah. It was probably junior varsity. So, so yeah, I mean, I'm with you, Rob. I don't know how the school could have prevented anything like that.
Not at 14, 15.
No.
Yeah.
No. So, anyhow, interesting story, yeah. I mean, but, you know. Anyhow, Rob, you got something you want to go to?
Yeah, why not?
Okay.
I'm going totally a different direction.
All right, that's what we do here.
I'm going to Charles Manson.
Oh, okay. That is totally different.
Yeah. During a parole hearing, murder cult leader Charles Manson revealed his desire to be free so he could go to France and meet up with Roman Polanski. At the time, insiders revealed Manson was disgruntled that the disgraced director wasn't home with pregnant wife Sharon Tate when she and her friends were murdered, and he allegedly wanted to finish the job. At a 1986 parole hearing in San Quentin, Manson was denied bail, but the convict made an anonymous statement when he was asked what he would do if he were set free. "I'd like to go to France because there's someone there I'm upset with," Manson said.
Uh-huh.
Okay, that was in 1986.
Mm-hmm.
Polanski had been living in France since 1977 when he fled the U.S. Uh-huh. one day before his sentencing hearing for unlawful sex with a minor,
mm-hmm.
in which he faced decades behind bars.
Yes.
Insiders claim Manson was bitterly disappointed that members of the Manson family Miss Polanski when they brutally murdered Tate and four others.
And also the baby.
Home
also the baby and Sharon Tate, too. They pulled the baby out and smashed it against a wall, dude.
Right, right.
Okay. Roman Polanski and Sharon Tate wasn't who they were after. That house was a music producer, a record company guy, that denied Charles Manson a contract. He went there. He had his cronies go to kill
Terry Melcher.
Yes, go ahead. Go ahead. I'm
record
sorry.
Producer Terry. Yeah, it's part of this story.
Okay. Go ahead, Rob. But, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
But Manson. Well, no, that was pretty much it.
Okay.
But where Manson's problem with Polanski was, Polanski kept running his mouth afterwards.
Okay, like how? I was unaware of this. I knew he fled to
Charles
France.
Charles can't stand the way Polanski has been bad-mouthing him in public since 1969.
Well, he did kill his wife and kill his baby. Jeez. I mean, or had it done.
Well, right. I get you there.
I would be probably really fucking mad, too. So, go ahead.
But, Manson had a problem with him because of that, but...
I'm surprised to this day that Manson didn't find some cronies to go kill him in France. Honestly.
Right.
He had that kind of power over people, certain people. And he pretty much hypnotized them into being his, I don't know, his worshiper and slave, pretty much. And I'm surprised that he wasn't able to find somebody from prison to go over to France and kill Polanski. I really thought that was going to happen at one point. I was like, man, you know, he's deranged. He wants to flex his muscle. He's in prison, and he's pissed off because he can't flex his muscle. He can't have his cronies, like, killing people and stuff like he did, right? So he was trying to flex his muscle in prison a lot of times, trying to psych out people and all this stuff. And I thought part of that was he was going to find a way to kill Polanski. But he did not. And Charles Manson is probably burning in hell right now, would be my estimate. What do you think, Rob?
I don't know. The more I'm reading about Roman Polanski.
Oh, he's a piece of shit.
Oh, yeah. Right here. I just ran across another one that just popped up.
Oh, okay.
The Santa Monica judge is set an August 2025 trial date for a rape lawsuit against director Roman Polanski.
Mm-hmm. He was a
And this was in 73. Okay, that would be the same.
Yeah.
Oh, 73. That's what Manson was bitching about.
Okay. Well, Polanski's a piece of shit. He did not deserve to have his wife killed and his kid killed. No. But he is a piece of shit.
No.
And I wish he was in America in prison like he should be. But anyhow... he got away somehow, and he's been living there ever since. So, Let's take our second break and come back with something a little bit more lighthearted. You want to do that?
Sure.
How about Wendy's new Frosty? I can tell you all about that and what flavor it is. Does that sound good?
Sounds good. Well, maybe.
It depends. I'm kind of... You know what? I'll wait until we get back. We'll be back in a couple
of
minutes.
Yeah, wait till we get back.
Yep.
Two douchebags and a microphone. More entertaining than a ruptured spleen.
And now, Deep Thoughts with Mark.
How does a butterfly take a dump? It never stops long enough. Maybe it just shits while lofting. Maybe it shits real quick while chewing flowers. I may never know.
Our constant pursuit for a real knee slapper. It's strange insults from an alien. Real hilarity.
I wouldn't waste you, but my mom told me to not burn trash.
Somewhere in the heavens, your great Grammy Gertrude is crying because her little Bebo is listening to this film.
Now, from his underground bunker in Camdenton, Missouri, stocked full of dried goods, canned food, and a couple of vibrating toys, is Ramblings of a Madman, featuring Rob Rad.
When everything is coming your way, you're in the wrong office.
Hey, look, I think we found land. Oh my god, I think we're safe. Oh no, it's the island of horrible jokes.
What do you call a well-balanced horse? Stable.
Two douchebags and one microphone.
The apocalypse just happened. You don't know what to do. You don't know where to go. But we can tell you what you can eat.
Wild asparagus is plentiful and easy to find. It can be stewed with garlic and onion, which is both wild, which can be easily found, in a very tasty post-apocalypse food. You can make this into a delicious stew. And this will hold you over at least for a couple of days until you can find some other food. Like I said previous, Wendy's is making a nostalgia a flavor with their latest Frosty. The fast food chain is introducing their Orange Dreamsicle Frosty, inspired by the classic childhood popsicle. Do you know what I'm talking about, Rob?
Yeah.
It's kind of like a creamy orange. I'm not a huge fan of that. I think it might be good in a shake, but I used to despise their popsicles. I didn't like them. Did you like them?
No.
Yeah. So that's why I said it depends. I know a lot of people that love them and are going to be very excited. The new sweet item will launch on Tuesday, March 19th, and will replace the Vanilla Frosty. See, I have a problem with that because I'm a huge Vanilla Frosty fan. I like it better than the chocolate. It's for a limited time, but the beloved chocolate flavor is not going anywhere. So to me, that's shit. I would rather have the Vanilla Frosty and not the Dreamsicle. But anyhow, they'll bring it back. The seasonal treat will combine the classic sweet orange notes flavor with a smooth vanilla frosty to form a dreamy orange cream experience, according to them. The eye-catching orange color of this delectable treat was inspired by a spring season, and it tastes just as good as it looks, the chain in the news release. With the launch of Orange Dreamsicle Frosty on the first day of spring, the chain is now completed offering a flavor of each season. The chain has previously released Strawberry Frosty for the summer, Fall's Pumpkin Spice Frosty, and Winter's Peppermint Frosty. So, there you go, Frosty fans. Hopefully you like Dreamsicle. If you like Dreamsicle, you're in fucking business, right? I've also got a new Canada Dry flavor, which they have not introduced one in a long time. You want to hear what it is? Okay.
Yeah.
Canada Dry adds a new ginger ale to its permanent lineup. The next time you'll find yourself craving a ginger ale, you'll be able to choose between the classic Zippy flavor as well as a new version of the Fruity Twist. To me, I don't think ginger ale and fruit belong together, do you?
No.
But?
No, I don't think so.
I'll be willing to give it a try, especially in the zero sugar category, because that might be pretty good. For a zero sugar product. Today, the brand announced that it's releasing Canada Dry Fruit Splash. The new soda is a cherry-flavored ginger ale, and it's made with a splash of real fruit juice. Given that many of our favorite fruit punches are made with ginger ale and fruit juice, its new flavor is already a winner in our book. It comes in regular and zero-sugar versions. The new soda is available nationwide from Target, Amazon, and Walmart, among others, in a 12-ounce 12-pack format, $7.99, and a 20-ounce bottle format, which will be available May 1st. After May 1st, the flavor won't be disappearing entirely, unlike many of the new sodas from other brands that tend to stick around for a limited time only. The 20-ounce bottle won't be available nationally after the beginning of May, but it'll be available on a regional basis, and the 12-ounce can format is here to stay. Canada Dry said added this flavor for its permanent lineup. Canada Dry also sells cranberry ginger ale, blackberry ginger ale, and ginger ale and lemonade, and ginger ale and orangeade flavors. Here's hoping to get even more fruity gingery flavors in the future, is what All Recipe says, but not me. Rob?
I don't know. There's a couple there I might look into.
Yeah, me too. You know what? I get bored. Well, if it's not real sugar sodas, I don't necessarily like them anymore.
Well, right.
So I don't know if I'm capable of really liking. The guy I used to work with, Brian, he was absolutely right. Once you go back to real sugar, you don't like the taste of corn syrup. So I probably won't like it. So, but that's just me. I know other people that they swear they can't tell the difference. They'll drink a real sugar Pepsi or Mexican Coke, then they'll drink a regular one. There's no difference. And I'm like, what? You're insane. They taste like two different beverages. But oh well. Hey, yeah, Rob, you got something you want to go into?
Yes, I do.
Rob, the floor is yours.
Over $100 or under?
Okay.
Surprisingly, there is actually a correct way to hang a toilet paper roll.
Oh, yeah, I read this article. Go ahead. I know what you're talking about. And it surprised me. I thought it was the other way. So, go ahead.
No, I've always thought this way myself.
Okay.
Humans have debated things large and small over the millennia.
Uh-huh.
From the diplomacy to breastfeeding in public, how often people ought to wash their sheets.
Uh-huh.
But perhaps the most silly yet surprisingly heated household debate is the one in which we argue over which way to hang the toilet paper roll.
Okay.
The over-under question has plagued marriages and casual acquaintances alike for over 100 years. But both sides convinced they have the soundest reasoning for putting their toilet paper loose end out or loose end under.
Mm-hmm.
Some people feel strongly about right versus wrong, TP. Hanging,
yeah.
They will even flip the roll over and they go to the bathroom in the homes of strangers. Contrary to belief, it's not merely an incidental preference. there is actually a correct way to hang toilet paper.
That surprised me.
According to health experts, as well as the man who invented the toilet paper roll in the first place.
Uh-huh. Go ahead. Did you lose it?
Make it clear about where we even... Where did it... Oh, okay. I see what we're doing.
Okay.
Right, no, it... one key of maintaining a hygienic washroom is minimizing contact between people and surfaces.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Christian Morrow, Associate Professor of Health Sciences and Medicine at Bond University on Australia's Gold Coast, told Australian Broadcasting Corporation, depending on the type of roll holder, hanging the toilet paper over often lowers the chance of a user will touch the wall behind the fishing for paper, leaving germs behind on that surface, which can spread to the next user.
You see, I never thought about it like that, because I could have swore it was the other way was the proper way.
According to health experts, over is the way to go.
That surprised me.
And once I read that, I understand that now.
You see, the reason I thought under was the proper way is because it tears off easier. You have that pressure from it being under, and it tears at the perforated line easier. So I automatically thought, well, okay, it must be under. Under's the way to really put in toilet paper. But I was wrong. So,
yeah, it comes down to hygiene.
Okay, I understand
that. Over, your hand is away from the wall.
Yes, I understand that now. But man, yeah. You know what I mean? If it's under, you can tear off a piece really easy. If it's over, it just kind of flops around.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah.
So anyhow, that's cool to know. So,
yeah.
You know, parents are kind of... they're taking a vested interest now in learning slang words for their kids, right? That way they know what they're saying, because there's so many of them now, right?
I have.
Well, they did a study to see which new words millennials and Zs are using that the parents actually understand and like what they are. Coming in the first is 70% of parents that like the slang term and use it themselves occasionally is salty. You see, I thought salty came from us. I mean, haven't you ever heard someone go, man, that guy's a little salty today?
Oh, always. I say it.
You see, I'm not so sure that came from the millennials or the Zers. I think that came from maybe even the boomers. I think it's been around a long
time. I'm thinking boomers, actually. I'm thinking I've heard my dad say that.
I'm thinking I heard my parents say it, too. And actually, I'll go a step further. I think it'd be used, I thought it used to be used a lot more. I bet you could look at old movies and hear some go, you're a little salty today, or something like that. Because I'm pretty sure...
I know I've seen movies like that.
Yeah. So I bet
salty... I can't
think
of Ralph Hammond, but...
I bet salty has a high percentage of them liking it because they've heard it before and they understand what it is. So, the next one, coming in at 67%, and this one surprised me, Rob, because I didn't think they would like this one at all. Bougie, or bougie. 67% of the parents like that and actually use it every now and then. So, I guess probably... if like something's really high class or something, you know, whatever, oh, that's bougie or whatever, the parents probably use that because it's easy to use in any sentence and they know exactly what it means. You know what I mean? It's a pretty easy word to identify.
All right.
Next one is sus, which means short for suspect. And I can see that 65% of parents like that and use it. Next one is bet, 63%, and bet is like an affirmation. It's like, man,
I know that one.
Yeah, that Rob, man, boy, he can cut that metal, bet, and that just means I concur.
Yeah.
Absolutely right.
My kids use that all the time.
Okay. Extra came in at 62%, and I forgot exactly what extra means. Do you remember what it means?
No, not right offhand.
Okay. I remember the word, I just don't remember the definition. Cap came in at 57%. And I don't quite remember what that meant either.
That's to shoot you, isn't it?
No, that was our term. That was our term, bust a cap in your ass. That came from Xers. Cap means something else nowadays. Let me see if I can find out what cap means. Let's see. What should I put in? Gen Z word meaning cap. Hopefully that does it. A lie. A Gen Z slang, the word cap means a lie or something false. When someone says, you capping, they are implying that someone is lying. Conversely, when someone adds no cap to the end of their message, they are saying they are telling the truth. Yeah, not the same cap we use. Not the same cap we used.
No.
Finna. 56%. And let me see what that means.
Finna.
Finna.
F-I-N-N-A. I know that's fixing to, if I remember right.
Finna is a contraction of fixing to, meaning getting ready to do something. In Southern American English, it emerged from fixing.
Told you.
You're right. Absolutely right. Shook. You remember what shook was?
That means you shook up.
Shook comes in at 54%. Well, let's check. That's what we think it would be. You know, I'm a little shook up.
Your nerves are shook, you know, and you get scared or whatever, you're shook.
Shook is the past tense form of shake. Used as a slang term to describe feelings ranging from discombobulation and fear to rage and elation and kind of like all shaken up. So you're right.
Exactly, yeah.
Simp, you remember what simp is? That comes in at 53% of the parents liking and using it.
Sympathy.
Simp is a slang insult for men who are seen as too attentive and submissive to women, especially out of a failed hope of winning some entitled sexual attention or activity from them. There you go. A patsy.
Okay, so I guess my guess is sympathy is out the window on that one.
it was a good guess, though, Rob. Yeet. Y-E-E-T. I forgot that one, too.
Oh, I just read that one here about. I can't remember what it was.
Here, listen to this. Yeet is a I remember it now. Yeet is a slang. Oh, hang on. Yeet has come in at 52% of the parents liking it or occasionally using it. Yeet is a slang word that functions broadly with a meaning to throw, but is especially used to emphasize forcefulness and a lack of concern for the thing being thrown. You don't yeet something if you're worried that it might break. Yeet is also used as an interjection, most often to express excitement or enthusiasm. There you go. Now, do you want to hear some of the least liked words?
Why not?
Okay. These are the least like. I saw this and I was like, this is pretty interesting.
We would not be us if we did not have that list.
I agree. Okay. Some slang are more acceptable, like the ones we just said. And then there's some slang that parents do not like. And one, the number one on the list at 21% is bussin'. Extremely good, excellent, delicious, tasty. Extremely good, excellent. Okay. I wouldn't have got that at all, would you? Finna. Wow, Finn is on the top and also on the bottom.
Yeah.
Finn at 16% is the second most hated word.
Oh, because you hear it so damn much.
Yes, it's meaning to or fixing to, like we said before. And cap isn't what we thought it was. So, anyhow, cap comes in. Oh, cap's both, too. Cap is the most loved one and most hated one, too. It comes in at 14%.
You hear it so damn much.
Yeah.
And then, even though I didn't realize that was cap was. But.
Let's see. Yeet at 14% is the fourth most hated word. And we know what that means. That means throwing something forcefully without regard
right.
of breaking it or nothing. And then simp is comes in at 13%, and that's the sixth most disliked word by parents. And the simp is a guy that's too attentive or submissive to women, trying to get romantic feelings out of them, but he's just too much of a patsy or spineless or whatever you want to call it. So anyhow, that's the end of the list right there.
So a lot of doubled then.
Yeah. Yeah, and like you said, it comes from what you said. They hear it too much and they hate it.
Yeah.
And they probably hate it because other parents use it too. So, that's very believable. You got anything you want to go into? Go ahead, sorry.
I got one more little story here.
You seem like you're kind of itching to say something, so go ahead, man.
A country music singer gets married in a mayor's office in spontaneous ceremony.
Okay.
And this was reported 2 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that.
Okay, 2 days
reported
ago.
Reported 2 days ago.
Okay.
Gary Allen is married. The country music artist wed his longtime love, Molly Martin, in a private ceremony. Oh, damn it.
What?
My damn phone.
Oh.
It jumped on me.
Okay. On a programming note, while you're looking for that, I want to say
that. Yeah, do that.
Yeah. We are getting ready to interject and freshen up a lot more bits. I have about 20 deep thoughts from Mark coming up and about 10 ramblings of a madman. So if you're getting tired of the ones that are going through right now, you're getting ready to hear a lot more of them. And we're going to brush up all of them. And another thing I'm going to do is some of the earlier ones that have like a volume difference that are kind of hard to understand, like I got the voice too fast or too slow, I'm going to be going over them systemically and getting them all fixed and corrected. So now when you hear a bit, hopefully they will all be more uniform. You won't have that pitch range, that noise range, and all that. And that's something that I've been needing to do for a long time. But like I said, I got a week off coming up here, the end of March, and I'm not going on a trip. So I'm actually going to have time to do some of this stuff. Today I got a bunch of hard work done.
We
so good
are going to have time.
Yes. And we are going to freshen up the bit section. So just that's on a programming note. Rob, did you find what you're talking about?
Yes, I'm back with what it was. I was scrolling through.
Okay.
And it hit a Ross ad.
Mm-hmm.
So it threw me into the Ross ad. Okay, Gary Allen is married.
Okay.
Country music artist wed his longtime love, Molly Martin, in a private ceremony in Tennessee on February 5th. Attended only by an officiant and a photographer, and it wasn't planned. After nearly a 3-year engagement, Allen said he and Martin woke up one day and decided to take their love to the local mayor's office and make it official.
Cool.
Molly and I have been trying to find the right time and right spot to get married, and we just decided the time was now. Howard told People Magazine, "We just didn't want to keep waiting. That doesn't mean they won't celebrate again with their loved ones in attendance. We may still do a bigger ceremony celebration later on, but for now, we are happy to be husband and wife."
Awesome. Very cool.
Yeah, I thought that was cool.
Real quick, we'll do this on the show. I want to bring back Nipple Yank, Nut Flick, and ear yank or ear twist or whatever it was for the next podcast. You think you can come up with a list?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
We haven't done that in a while. I was just looking through my notes and I'm like,
I totally forgot about that one.
Yeah, so did I until I was looking through my notes. I'm like, hey, we haven't done this in a while, and it's actually a fun little segment. So. All right, we'll be doing that. So. The Hairy Asshole Olympics are coming back here. Jeffy X promises some really good stuff here soon. So we got some cool shit coming down the pike. Our bits are getting bigger and larger, and I'm learning some little secrets of producing them better and coming up with some different angles and voices and stuff. I think soon we're going to be able to do some parody songs too. So. Anyhow, that's what you guys are looking at. So keep listening, and you will be highly rewarded if you like this kind of garbage, right?
Always. Always.
All right, everybody. Have a great night. Thank you, assholes, for listening.
Good night, assholes.
Hey, where'd everybody go? We're the douchebags. Oh my god, someone took a dump in the corner. Oh jeez. Ugh, glad they're gone. Let's just hope they don't come back. Whew, man, that smells.